If I say this, try to conceive. Can you conceive? Pardon? Even if particle moves,
that's right.
Even if it moves, can it remain a particle? Yeah, but when it moves, it may make a wavy movement. But itself, is it itself a wave? Its motion can be wavy, but is itself a wave? Good. But my question was first, what is conceivable and what is not conceivable? It can be true, I agree. It is true, but the fact is, I am trying to give an example of that which is not conceivable. Now, modern physics says that there is the same thing which you call particle is also the wave. That which you call particle is also the wave. This is the new discovery of modern physics. Physicists are all surprised themselves. This is a good example of inconceivability. But as you said rightly, it can be true. Therefore, mere inconceivability is not the mark of unreality. Now, philosophy is precisely this exercise. What is conceivable and what is not conceivable? And not conceivable, therefore untrue, and not conceivable and yet true. When you arrive at this distinction, you have arrived at the heart of philosophical thinking. Now, spiritual experience has a different method. We were trying to see scientific thinking, philosophical thinking, and now we have a third level, and that is of spiritual experience. Now, what is spiritual experience?
Which you perceive.
Good, it is a good definition to start with. Spiritual experience is perception. But not perception like that of a stone or a pebble or a moon or sun, which you can physically see. A spiritual experience is the experience of the inaudible, of the invisible, that which you cannot see with your eyes, that which you cannot touch, and yet you can see. So spiritual experience is perception. This is the definition you gave, which I admit. Spiritual experience is a perception, but perception of the invisible and the inaudible, and is also the same. Even this chair is spiritual. You are right. But when I say this chair is spiritual, what exactly do I mean? This chair is spiritual, but it is not exactly, the spiritual element in your perception is not exactly that which is visible. It is the invisible aspect of this chair which I say is spiritual. When I touch this chair and I touch it with reverence, is because I see it, that which is invisible, to be object of my reverence. This chair may be the teacher whom I revere very much sits on. And when I touch that chair, I see the seat of Buddha, seat of the Divine Mother. There is something else than the physical that I see, which I call spiritual, which also I see, but see not physically. So, the mark of spirituality, minimum mark of spirituality is, it is invisible and inaudible. Although it can be visible physically also, it can be also audible physically. But its speciality, its essentiality is, it is the experience of that which is invisible and that is inaudible. Now, a spiritual knowledge need not be comprehensive. In philosophy, we mark the idea of comprehensiveness. Spiritual knowledge need not be comprehensive, but can be comprehensive. So now we have three distinctions: scientific knowledge, philosophical knowledge, and spiritual knowledge. In spiritual knowledge, you try to be as comprehensive as possible, but it can be continuously progressive. There are depths and depths of experience, heights after heights of experience, widenesses of experience. You can continuously grow in spiritual experience. You become more and more integral. Now it is found that when you arrive at the highest experiences, you have surprising statements. Just as in physics, when you go to the absolutely depth of matter, you have particle wave duality. Similarly, when you read some of the spiritual experiences and descriptions of them, you find something inconceivable. Just as particle wave is inconceivable and yet a fact. Similarly, in spiritual experience also you arrive at inconceivable.